It's March 19th, my son's birthday, and for some reason, I'm going to talk about running backs that could have historic seasons as a result of that one. An exciting day here, draft number 36 for me, of course, in the big board underdog, 200K to first place. I am, of course, already in the draft room, and because we are starting a few minutes early and the draft room is almost filled, we are going to get a pristine experience here. No reggies in here, just the unencumbered, beautiful experience on Underdog. Of course, you can play for yourself. Follow that promo code SPLASH, double your deposit to $100. But it is a new day here, and we're going to think about drafting some running backs. And frankly, with this being a room without regulars, probably a better day to draft running backs early on, and we will see if we can do that. In fact, the man in the thumbnail might be coming up for me at pick five, but we will see. Of course, Bijan on the thumbnail over my shoulder, smiling almost kind of tauntingly at me. But we'll try to get a share here if we can. See what Tilted Bob does here. Hopefully he won't be tilting me by taking Bijan, but we'll see. The one day I want to take a running back. The one day I want to take a running back early, we don't get to do it. So I will still take Ja'Marr Chase here. I would like to take Bijan. So number one, this Atlanta exposure. The ADPs for Atlanta are coming up a lot. Could be the recency bias. Could be the fact there's a lot of people right now talking about Atlanta, how they're going to be in a surge in offense, how they're going to be one that's going to be on the upswing. Kyle Pitts getting fed. Drake London getting fed. You got Darnell Mooney. You got Rondale Moore. You got weapons for Kirk Cousins. And, of course, Bijan being the beneficiary of this offense, moving the ball downfield, being more aggressive attacking. I want shares of Bijan. Unfortunately, Bijan has come up to a price tag where now people are taking him ahead of wide receivers. So, as the name of the game here, no Bijan today, but I would be happy to take him for a historic day. Just in a draft where someone took Johnny Football pick two? I don't think that's possible. I imagine Johnny Manziel's not in the player pool unless there's another Johnny Football I'm not aware of. Oh, there's literally Johnny Football. There is somebody whose name is Johnny Football. What are they doing, bits at Underdog? What is this shit? Anyway, here we go. M for Life Jay here. Jaden, one of our guys, did not get in. Damn it. I'm sorry to hear that, unfortunately. You know, again, variable times, guys, but going to be probably early more often than not. But look, this is a draft room where we're drafted for spags. We're drafted for good content. We're not drafted to just have a bunch of regular names in the chat. So we're going to get different today. We'll see what we do. GM's around, though. Glad to have you guys in here, of course. Do your own drafts in parallel. So that's a fun way to do that, too. So you get some overfill rooms with Splash Play people in there. Do that for you guys. And I'll draft against Tilted Bob and Stubby in the gang. I'm happy to be drafted against guys like Tilted Bob, Stubby, Jackass. Slim Cheddar is a regular, though, so that we didn't fully escape everybody. The Slim Cheddar, again, regulars who stay out of the way, who just draft clean teams for themselves, great. Regulars that are morons, less so. But we got rid of those guys. Round 18, flyer on Tom Brady. He'll get pissed in the booth. I think Tom Brady's days are done. He's got cats. His kids have cats now. So that's impossible to play football when your children have cats. Too busy. Too much work on the calendar. Cats, the easiest animal in the world. It's too hard. Too hard when you have kids and cats. That's what Tom Brady's excuse is. But honestly, for Tom Brady, good for him. Stay away from the game, man. You did enough. You did enough of that. He got out before he completely hit the shitter. And frankly, it looked like he was hitting the shitter a little bit that last year. So for him, hey. Kudos him for staying out of the game. It's like pro wrestling. Football players don't stay retired a lot of times. Just stay retired, man. Enjoy the life. Enjoy the spoils. Saquon goes at number 14 here. Yesterday, even I was willing to take him at pick 19. Obviously, Saquon, the bet you're making on him is really an Eagles-based bet now. The talent, as we talked about, has not been there the last few years. I am sure the Saquon defenders will go, it's the Giants. It's the Giants being bad. It's Daniel Jones. It's all that. In reality, Saquon is just a guy that is a negative EPA receiver, negative EPA rusher, guy who doesn't avoid tackles that well. All the stuff that he's known for in our brain, stuff that he lit up my alum USC team in college in the Rose Bowl, he doesn't do it anymore. But he is in a good situation, so we really have to be able to unpack situation versus player. Is Saquon necessarily going to be worth taking at 14? No. Is he going to give you a 3 to 5, 20-plus point games, maybe even a 30-point game? I think possibly. So that's why I'm willing to take him there. And frankly, I do agree that he should be priced higher than Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor's going to have success with AR, but AR is going to take enough off the table. And, Hurts may too, but it does seem like a lot of signal so far, especially with bringing in Kenny Pickett. You go from Marcus Mariota to Kenny Pickett. That is sort of a signal that the offense is going to be dependent on the run a little bit less, even though Jalen Hurts probably runs out of improv situations a lot more, or the same amount, rather. Happy birthday, Lucas Max. Thank you, Donovan. I appreciate that. Yes, and as I mentioned, I'm just going to keep doing all the content today, the dad joke I'm bringing to the table today. Nothing a two-year-old likes more than hitting the like button on his dad's content. I think that's the one thing we know is tried and true. Devon Achane goes here. So we are forced into a zero RB build. Does Achane have a historic season in him? I think it'd be a question. Derrick Henry at pick 18, I would say does not. So we are in some weird shit right now. I got to be honest. DJ Moore is coming down. I do think he should be coming down. Does seem like some signal that Chicago is not going to go wide receiver at 9. Offensive lineman is the latest rumors for them. Obviously, do you need another receiver when you have DJ Moore, when you have Keenan Allen, when you have Cole Kmet? You could use a downfield stretcher maybe, but I don't think that's a lock anymore. So I will take DJ Moore here at pick 20 and just try to get different from all the people that have been taking him at the, you know, at the turn, basically. I imagine a Jamar Chase, DJ Moore combo, more popular now, but definitely didn't exist the first, you know, what, month and a half of this draft, 2.5 months, you know, 2 months of change. So that's how that goes. Finding I need 5 RBs for round 13, my RB room looks shaky. I guess I still would not want to take them too heavily before round 6. You should be running that, you know, the James Conner pocket, the Tony Pollard pocket, whatever you want to call that. I think that's what I'd be focused on a little bit more, but you know, that's RB comfort is something that has ruined a lot of teams in the past. So I would not necessarily say that you should be too worried about that. That's zero RB. That's why zero RB works, is because people historically from playing fantasy football, since they were kids, they, you know, think that everything's about running backs. And in reality, the league doesn't reflect that. You still want a good running back. You still want guys who are going to exceed their ADP, exceed their value. But like ultimately running backs are less valuable than wide receivers. And we've seen that time and time again, including, you know, including in the contracts this year, even though the guys got signed fast, these aren't, you know, groundbreaking deals. Whereas for wide receivers, you know, continue to get paid. The Gabe Davises of the world get paid. Even the Darnell Mooney's get paid. It just shows you where the signal is from the league. So you should be comfortable taking 5 running backs before 13, and they should be coming, you know, round 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, primarily. You think Gabe Davis is a great value since he's most likely number one wide receiver on the outside. They sub Zay Jones. Also rumors around right now that the Jags could trade pick 19 and Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk. I don't know that's possible, but that's the rumor that was floating around from Jacksonville beat people that they don't want to pay the Ayuk contract and that draft capital and Zay Jones, I guess. But that's a trade that's out there. So I would not feel the most comfortable about anything in that Jaguars room. Necessarily, but you know, Gabe Davis is probably gonna be the same player that he was last year. I don't think it's gonna be a big difference there. Don't think he suddenly becomes an 8 target a game guy, even though that can happen from game to game. 0020 here. Rashee Rice coming down a little bit. Olave okay at this range. Mike Evans, Tank Dell, really not a bad pick here. I'm just gonna keep scooping up the value and go Rashee Rice. Do you believe that Rashee Rice is going to keep moving down, especially when we get to a BBM? I imagine Rashee Rice is going more in this 30 to 40 range because Marquise Brown being there is a pretty big inhibitor for Rashee Rice. But overall, you know, really having a downfield weapon that is better than an MVS, better than a Justin Watson, at least on paper, going to open things up a little bit more for Rashee Rice, who the reports are the Chiefs want him to be running the exact same route tree as Travis Kelce to give him a whole more weapons underneath and then hopefully open things up downfield. So for Rashee Rice, the hope here is that he becomes a Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know that I have that hope, but he showed enough in year one that at pick 29, he's been going in the 20s and sometimes the teens. Want to take Rashee Rice here. Cole Kmet makes as much as Jacobs and Barkley. Yeah, that's true. Again, tight ends. Another thing that's been a premium as well with a couple of years ago was that Dallas Goedert, Travis Kelce Super Bowl this past year. I guess a little bit less of a luminary one, but still, you know, Kittle and Kelce. Still two flagship tight ends, two guys we consider elite tight ends. So I think that teams, you know, again, wide receivers, tight ends, a little bit more valuable than running backs right now. But, you know, that's the whole thing that you got to get comfortable with. All right. Value squad indeed. Yeah, we're scooping it up here, which I'm okay with. What point do you have to draft Diggs keeps moving back in the third round? So he does it in every room. Yesterday, I saw him go at 22. I think Diggs is great at this range. I'd be happy to take him at 28. If he had been there, I would have taken him over Rashee Rice. Diggs to me has benefited from this offseason. He's probably now with adding Curtis Samuel, with having Khalil Shakir there, still a shot they bring in a Brian Thomas or somebody who can be a downfield stretcher. But if not, you know, Curtis Samuel's fast, but he's not really a downfield stretcher. He's still more of a slot guy. So Diggs is probably the downfield stretcher. And if he keeps 10 targets a game and also adds in a few, you know, a few more 15, 20 air yard kind of throws, it probably makes him better. So I think Diggs is quietly the biggest beneficiary of everything that's happened with Gabe Davis moving on, but we'll see what happens in draft season. Because if they do bring in a Brian Thomas, they do bring in a Troy Franklin, that kind of upsets things for me enough. Or, you know, an Adonai, the guys that I like a little bit less, you know, same thing. Downfield target. Not a big Hollywood Brown guy. Seems he always falls short of expectations in some spike games. I agree. I mean, he didn't even have a spike game last year. But I do think for him, you know, the situation, you have to buy into the situation. And I'd be happy to buy into the situation, but, you know, at a reasonable cost. I'm not going to go reaching for guys. As we talked about here, that's the main thing. You take Derrick Henry at 18, it's a huge mistake because Derrick Henry's going in the 50s the entire time. And right now he's priced in the mid-30s, maybe, you know, late 20s in some drafts. So going up even higher to get him, you're just compounding the mistake. And that's the part people don't get a lot with best balls. Like, you don't want to compound those mistakes because it makes you have to be perfect everywhere else. And you don't necessarily want to do that. Neighbors and Odunze go back to back. A lot of the analysts out there, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world, I believe, and Chris Sims, most notably, talk about Malik Neighbors being potentially wide receiver one, seemingly happening at the same time in a way that raises maybe some red flags about agents trying to get people to promote Malik Neighbors being wide receiver one. A different player than Marvin Harrison, even though the results are pretty similar for those guys, both elite players in terms of the analytics I look at, the EPA metrics from Sports Info Solutions in particular. For Neighbors, though, the benefit for him is just that I think he's a little bit more of a competitor. Marvin Harrison seems like he's been trying to protect that top spot more so. So we will see. We do have the Chicago stack falling right in my lap, and I did take it yesterday, but I'm happy to do it again with both guys. We're going to take Keenan Allen here. So much signal from Chicago about what they're doing is going to make this the best possible landing spot for Caleb Williams. The one flaw is, like, there's not going to be an elite young guy with him, but, you know, DJ Moore is still young enough, right? He's 26. DJ Moore is younger than I thought. Feels like he's been around for fucking 10 years. DJ Moore, 26, Keenan Allen in his 30s, but, I guess it's possible that he can be a guy that helps DJ Moore keep growing. So, all right with that. Quite the ADP value for that guy's team. Yeah, Malik Neighbors at 41, you don't see very often. But again, this is why we like having different rooms here on Splash Play. It's no disrespect to our regulars, who I do love a lot, especially, you know, the good regulars, not people who just want to see their name on the screen. But ultimately here, like, seeing different rooms is an important part of things. And frankly, I don't get rooms like this often when we have a bunch of regulars. So scooping up value, a good thing. And Malik Neighbors at 41, definitely a good thing to be in rooms like that. And frankly, to also be in rooms where people are taking Joe Mixon at 51, Derrick Henry at, you know, 18, like, these are really lofty prices for aged running backs. That's kind of the benefit of drafting with a little bit less sharp rooms, even though we have some badges in here, of course. All right. I do often go to Terry McLaurin in this spot. I obviously don't mind that again here. Pickens, not opposed to either. His price tag is coming up a lot, and I don't know when or how that stops. Mike Williams rumors might drive him back down. Mike Williams being tied to the Jets right now and the Steelers. I am going to keep hammering Terry McLaurin. I like the idea right now with how Chicago is building their team and also with how Washington does seem more likely to be going Jaden Daniels' way based on the markets, the betting markets in particular moving, and some of the rumors out there too. I would still say it's like 60-40 Jaden versus Drake May, but I feel more confident in Jaden going to Washington. I love a Caleb Williams start with Jaden Daniels. Like, I think that's a great one. To me, that's like AR and Stroud last year, except you're getting those guys cheaper, or at least you're getting, you know, one half of that at cheaper. So I like that build. Happy to invest in the rookies here. And I am deeply impressed with what Chicago's doing. I think Chicago's building a team that is going to be competitive. I don't know if they win the NFC North, but our guy Ian Harditz over at Fantasy Life posted a lot of Caleb Williams stuff, I guess maybe doing his research right now, posted a compilation of Caleb Williams rushing stuff, which I've talked about on here, that he's a much better rusher than people realize. And just some quick numbers on that. Ran 5.3 times per game, a 38% avoided tackle rate when running the ball, EPA of 0.32 per rush, like, really good numbers. And it's not to say that, you know, he's any better than Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Drake May ran 6.8 times a game, 0.5 EPA. Jaden Daniels, 9.4 times a game, 0.67 EPA, which is bananas. JJ McCarthy even ran 3 times a game and had a 0.30 EPA flat. So, like, these guys are all pretty good runners. But for Caleb Williams, like, the assumption is that he's Mahomes because he looks like Mahomes visually. You watch him play, does some Mahomesy things with the arm release angle and all of that. But the mobility, he's a more willing runner than Mahomes. He thrived in the RPO in particular, where him keeping the ball and having, you know, 30-yard, 40-yard, 50-yard plays sometimes. So for Caleb, I think there's a lot of great things here. And I am – the Bears fans, like, don't want Caleb. The Bears fans are getting the best run out of anybody. And frankly, a guy who – I don't know if he's going to have a historic type season, but, like, DeAndre Swift might have the best shots at the best season he's ever had. With a QB, he's going to know when to check down, when to use him, when to get him into space. You do have Roshan there threatening for pass down work. That's tough. But, like, Swift can have 15 to 20 touchdowns this year and have a few 200-yard games because Caleb and these receivers are incredibly talented. And Kmet's also incredibly talented. So I like Chicago a lot, man. I really think I think Bears fans are sleeping on how good of an opportunity this is. I know they, like, we saw enough with Fields. I think Fields got a bad run out. Maybe got fucked a little bit, but Caleb Williams to me is just like, he's going to make this so good. It's going to be a lot of fun. DJ Moore, the new Amari Cooper. I mean, look, this is the first year that DJ Moore showed, like, you know, being a positive EPA receiver. For a lot of his career, he was a negative guy who was getting there through volume. So I think for him to show the big upside this year, that's what people wanted to see, was him be able to combine, you know, decent QB play, which I think Fields was, at least for DJ Moore. Maybe it wasn't decent QB play overall, but he did feed DJ Moore well, fed him accurately, allowed DJ Moore to be an outlier. Like, this is what happens with him getting decent QB play. What happens when he gets good QB play and also somebody to draw some, you know, some attention away from him? I think DJ Moore can be great next year. I like his ADP coming down. Like, I don't want to take DJ Moore at the turn, but with his ADP coming down, it's just, it's a good situation, man. Very good situation. Let's see. How are your Terry McLaurin shares? I don't know, fan. Let's see. Pick coming up here, so I'm paying attention to that at the same time, but I will look at my exposures in parallel on the clock here. Let's make this pick. Man. All right, so AR there was kind of tempting. Joe Burrow makes sense with Ja'Marr Chase. Though I don't mind making a bet that is just Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels later on and trying to make that happen. I feel like we can really make an elite wide receiver core, and I'm going to err towards that. I'm going to take Brian Thomas. We're going full extreme zero RB here. Ja'Marr Chase, DJ Moore, Rashee Rice, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Thomas Jr. So we are getting a little bit of youth in, high upside guy, guy who's going to definitely be a better in best ball kind of guy. Brian Thomas, come on down, and I am happy with that one. All right, my exposure to Terry McLaurin. Highest exposed guy right now. Let me refresh. Highest exposed guy is, looks like, is Jaden Daniels at 40.5%, which is not a surprise. Number two for me is Brock Bowers at 30%. And again, it's only been, you know, 36 drafts plus a couple in the little board. So nothing that crazy. And then McLaurin, I'm at 18.9%. So I've taken him about seven times, it looks like, in the big board. So, you know, definitely a lot relative to the stream, but not as much as you might think. I just think he's undervalued, especially going, you know, 53. I think he should be in the 40s, personally. I get why he's not, but for me, I think he should be. Damn, AR went. Yeah, I was thinking about AR, but AR didn't make a lot of sense for this team. Again, we are making our bag with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, so I'm cool with that. And like the stream, Tossers. Yes, indeed. Please like the stream. Again, drafts every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. That is what we're doing here on Splash Play. Of course, talking about the news, talking about the latest rumors and innuendos out there, and trying to give you guys the best intel possible using advanced analytics, using the data, using my experience being a finalist the last couple of years on both Underdog and DraftKings. That's the goal here on Splash Play. So hit that like button, help us out here. And again, your likes matter a lot here. What, like, my son wanted that for his second birthday. He was like, please, please, daddy, please go on stream and ask them for two wikes, for multiple wikes today for my number two birthday. That's what kids want for their birthday. It's crazy. It's you know, Gen Alpha, man. But please hit the like button. You know, look at what he wants. Look at wanted donuts, actually. Being real with things. Monty for the divisional correlation. That's in play. Something else might be in play, too, at pick 77, but we're going to see. But Dunze goes to Chicago. How do you rank ADPs? I don't think he's going to Chicago anymore. I think with acquiring Keenan Allen, that was the move that they were going to make for the wide receiver too. I thought it was going to be they go up and get Odunze. Maybe Neighbors if he somehow fell. But I don't think it's the most likely. If it did hit, though, it would be bad for Moore and Allen. To some extent, those guys would probably get more open area underneath. So Joe Burrow's here, which also makes sense. But we can really start to drive this team home pretty aggressively with Brock Bowers. So I'm not going to pass that up. If Joe Burrow falls to pick 92, whatever, but I'm happy to take Caleb and Jaden Williams here and get different from a Joe Burrow pick that I think is pretty obvious. It's only a 4-pick ADP discount at this point, so I can live without Joe Burrow. Suckling at the best ball knowledge nipple of Sensei Chris. Suckling is a weird word. Yes, suckling is a weird. Well, it's got suck in it. I mean, how's it going to... Anything with the word suck in it, it's not going to be perceived that well. But yeah, suckling, it's, please, here's a nip for you. Go ahead. JSN goes pick 78. Quietly, still a bad ADP for him just because of the fact that, like, his ADP rising was largely a bet based on Tyler Lockett not coming back. Tyler Lockett's back. The hope is that now you're going to see a lot more three receiver sets with a new offensive coordinator, with the new coaching staff there. That's possible, but I still don't love JSN at 78. Feels like he should at this point be down to 80s, maybe down to the 90s. I think that would be a little more appropriate for a guy like JSN. Christian Watson at 81. Can't gripe about that. Reasonable price on Neontae Johnson. Weird little wrinkles to this room where I would have thought in this kind of room, very RB heavy. Obviously, a lot of guys here, maybe more boomer type drafters, would have thought that Deontay would get steamed up more, but he goes to pick 80 here. See, most recent mocks have Xavier Worthy falling out of first round. Has that hurt his ADP? His ADP never, I mean, it obviously came up, but I don't think it was ever a thing that I was like, oh no, he's getting too frothy. He's kind of stayed around that 110 range for the most part, which I think is appropriate. If you're making a bet on him, you're making a bet just on the speed. His performance in college is really not that good. I've talked about it. Adonai Mitchell looks better in most metrics. Worthy did get more targets overall, but he wasn't a deep ball guy. Let's see, Xavier Worthy, 28.5%. 0.5% target per out run rate is pretty good, but only 9.9 to 10 air yards per attempt, only a 0.12 EPA per target. Wasn't great out wide or in the slot. I just don't know where he fits in. And then downfield as well. Downfield, he was only a 0.29 EPA per target. So about 1/5 as good as a Harrison, about 1/7 as good of a Malik Nabers downfield. It's just not enough for me. So I don't know. Like for Worthy, he's the fastest guy ever. You take flyers on him because he's the fastest guy ever. But like you're probably getting a little bit more of a Darius Hayward Bay type, but a guy who commands more targets on Darius Hayward Bay for people who want vintage Raiders speed receiver references. Or Henry Rugg without the DUIs is hopefully what you're getting with Xavier Worthy. But I don't see the huge upside there. I'd rather have Mitchell. Mitchell at least is big and, you know, that matters to me. But maybe you get a Tank Dell outcome for Worthy. It's just, I don't think it's the most likely. All right, 0061 here. So we can go on a nice little running back run and would have no issue with that. We did see Joe Burrow go to a guy who I assume has T. Higgins. No, he doesn't. He just took it unstacked, Joe Burrow. I mean, what are you going to do? Guess it was an ADP discount at that point. All right. I think I'm okay making the bet on Raheem Mostert here. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane. Achan expected to take more of a share, but I think it's closer to a 50-50 share than people will want to see. So Mostert, happy to take him in the 90s still a bet on Miami, who we know is going to be, if not a team that you can trust in the playoffs, a good regular season team who's going to be aggressive, get the ball downfield, open up touchdown opportunities, and also want to run it on those touchdown opportunities. So for Mostert, I think he's a good pick at this range, and I'm happy to do it. You need to go receiver here. Yeah, look, I mean, a seventh receiver, you know, don't tempt me with a good time. That's not it. Tight end one, Njoku is still there. I mean, if Njoku was tight end one, you'd be beating a lot of the field, man, because we're talking about him being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, tight end 10. So, hey, make your bet then. I'd personally rather make the bet on Brock Bowers. I don't think more target competition and also Deshaun Watson is a good thing for Njoku, but he was good last year. It's just I think he was more good with Flacco in there, using him as a bailout, and also, frankly, hitting him downfield well. Whereas, like, historically, Watson has not targeted the tight ends downfield as well. It can always change, but I just don't think that's going to be a thing. And I don't have a lot of confidence in Watson, you know, changing his game for the better, really. Guys, I like this running back range, like Javonte Williams here. I've taken some Eckler. Do you think, as I mentioned yesterday, I'd rather flip Robinson and Eckler's ADPs? I think this is a public kind of ADP for Eckler, whereas Robinson, all the signal from Dan Quinn so far is that he's going to be the power back, going to be the goal line back. Zamir White, a big move for him is getting Alex Mattison as a competition. That's not great competition. Zamir White himself is also not great, only a 12% avoided tackle rate, so not a shifty guy. He is country strong, though, as he talked about in a press conference yesterday, I believe, or unless that was an old clip I saw on social media. But he basically, in the offseason, he like lifts wood and like moves horses and bales of hay, like legit doing the country boy kind of workouts. So that's the thing you like. That's your guy. We do see Tyjae go. Yo, rookie, still a risk for Zamir White. I don't think there's a risk for Brian Robinson right now. So I'm going to take Brian Robinson. Again, we have a little bet on Washington. Oh, should I reach for Caleb? No, you know what? We're going to push Caleb. We're going to try. Caleb is more valuable to me, though, than he is to anybody else. I'm still taking Caleb. Or punting Caleb, rather. Taking Brian Robinson here is we need a running back. I don't want to blow this wide receiver room, and I think we have a shot to push Caleb around, but I'm risking it. I'll get one of Caleb or Jaden Daniels. I know that. But like the guy was saying earlier, you know, for me, if you're going extreme zero RB, this is where you feel the RB squeeze a little bit more. You have to get your guys in and you have to be willing to risk QB, I think, in this range. If you are to go with a team like this one where we went 6 wide receivers, 1 tight end to start. Obviously, if you don't go 6 wide receivers and 1 tight end to start, you're better off. If I had an Achane, a Kyren, a Bijan, who I would have taken earlier, then this team would look different. But I think for me, I had to get Robinson in here as just a steady RB2 who can give me early season production and hopefully, you know, throughout the year. Playing on adding a Chicago running back, where are you on all three? I mean, Swift's the best play, but I couldn't get Swift at his ADP, so that's basically it. Swift getting paid that money, going to get the best opportunity. Roshan is a better pass blocker. That is a risk point for Swift and a positive for Roshan. For me, though, I would rather have Swift. I think Swift's at a reasonable ADP. In this room, though, he went at 70, a little bit lofty, I think. Unless his ADP's come up. Let me see. I think he's going, is he going to the 80s? Yeah, he's going at 89. This room went batshit. So I would have loved to have Swift on the seam, but he went at 70 when he normally goes at 89 because, again, this room, not the sharpest. And this is a trade-off here. We have sharp rooms that it's a mix of guys and sometimes, you know, some unsharpness. That's what we saw on Friday. Here, this is a not sharp room and we're getting some discounts, but we're also getting guys not going at logical ADP as a result. So that's a trade-off. But I'd be okay taking Roshan too. It's just, you know, it's like more of an RB5 kind of bet in my mind. A.D. Mitchell still on the board. Troy Franklin still on the board. Mike Williams goes. Again, rumors, Jets and Steelers on the hunt for him. Both would hurt Garrett Wilson and Pickens to some extent, though Williams is now old enough coming off an ACL tear that you probably don't need to panic over it, but it should drive the ADPs down. Got to look out for Madison holding on to his amazing streak of 160 consecutive touches, zero touchdowns he's due. Look, I mean, it is still an ambiguous backfield, but Zamir White, I think, with Antonio Pierce being there, it's a new offensive coordinator, so there's a shot that, like, you know, Madison can come in and have a great camp, and then they'll be like, oh, shit, like, Madison's our guy. I don't think that's likely. I think the bigger risk is that they bring in somebody, like, if you're the Raiders, I would bring in Jonathan Brooks because you're covered. You don't need – you let Brooks recover as slow as he needs to and still have a guy that's got more upside than Zamir White, more juice definitely than Zamir White. But for right now, Zamir White going where he's going, you know, not mad at it. Obviously, he was better in the 150s. Wow, that'd be a lot of touchdowns. Would that be five touchdowns a game for him? Maybe a little bit lofty. Probably not the median outcome, I would say, for him to have 80 touchdowns. Come on, Stubby. All right, we get our guy, Caleb Williams. Pushed him back another seven picks. We'll take it. Team so far, Caleb Williams at QB, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson at running back. Running back is thin. We're going to have to salvage that. Jamar Chase, DJ Moore, Rashee Rice, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver. Brock Bowers, a tight end. I mean, this is probably one of the better wide receiver rooms I've gotten. Getting guys at value, getting guys who were a lot frothier earlier in the process. I like that. That said, running back to me is real narrow, and I probably need another running back on the way back, even though that does risk Jaden Daniels. So that's tough. Zamir is jacked. That is one thing he gives Zamir. The Bay Hails and all that are really tough for sure. Who else was stressing? I was stressing a little. I thought Stubby could take him, but, you know, we always try to err on logical drafting. We're always trying to squeeze the best bits of value we can out of a room. And in a room where nobody had Keenan Allen, nobody had DJ Moore, I think it was worth that push to try to figure it out. But now the question is going to be, like, do I just prioritize running back here? Because a Chuba would make the seem better. A Jonathan Brooks would make the seem better. Don't think a Blake Corum would. Then I could try to push Jaden Daniels down, or I could just take Jaden now and lock it up, and I'd be okay with that too. I think it's going to depend who's here. If one of Brooks and Chuba is there, Chuba being gone makes this easier. I think we're going to go Jaden next. I like that I can just say too, by the way, because this isn't a room. Again, the Friday room, if you want to watch that and you want to see my pain live and on a video, I can just say the things that I want to take now because we're in a room with people that aren't watching the stream for the most part, I guess, maybe besides Slim Chetta. But, you know, I got to say, I want to say Jaden Daniels next. I'm going to pass up Jonathan Brooks, and I'm not at risk of that blowing up in my face. Feels good. Jaden Daniels, come on down. We got the top two rookies, both of whom I am very excited for. And yes, I took them yesterday too, but I want my shares. It's the big board. And I believe in these guys. So that's why. Notice that Caleb's been falling in my draft room since Fields got traded. Seems odd. I don't get it at all, especially with how reactionary people are. But, you know, again, there's a lot of Bears fans that don't think Caleb Williams is going to the Bears, even though there's been every signal possible that's going to be the case. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a mystery left afoot, but Fields being gone, it's obviously, you know, what are you holding on to at this point? As you can see, Fields hasn't been drafted yet. Fields ADP as of today, March 19th, 136 ADP, and he should probably be going in the late 180s. Because you're basically, best case scenario is probably getting him for half a season. You know, the worst, there's a shot, I guess, that Russell Wilson completely implodes or gets hurt early on and you get Fields for 13 games. But the most likely outcome is him not getting the 51% of snaps to trigger that bonus. And that means playing, you know, week 9, week 10. Caleb fails. He just asks. They need to improve the offensive line. But yeah, I mean, I think even with a bad offensive line, Caleb would be pretty good. Caleb under pressure last year, just out of curiosity. Let's see. Under pressure, he was not good under pressure. 31% pressure rate turned that into 8% sacks, both of which on the highest end of all the guys were top prospects, and a negative 0.7 EPA. I think from, you know, again, this is me being a USC fan, being a USC alum who's watched the team closely since, you know, the early 2000s, date myself even more. For Caleb, he has a little bit of hero ball in him, which I think is, you know, a good thing. But for USC, you know, under pressure plays, he's then moving around too much, making some mistakes. Guys were also maybe not getting as open besides Brendan Rice this past year. And Taj Washington, too, was getting open downfield, but it wasn't. He didn't have the greatest run of wide receivers either. For Caleb, I'm willing to give him some grace, but, you know, it does stand out to me from what I saw visually and then to see that high pressure rate, to see the bad EPA there. Like for comparison, I've talked about Bo Nix. Bo Nix had a positive EPA under pressure, which is crazy, but like he had a 15% pressure rate, which is very low, 0.09 EPA under pressure. Of course, he was throwing a lot of checkdowns, a lot of short throws. So it's easier to get the ball out if you're not doing hero ball like Caleb Williams does. But I do think for him, you know, I think that it's a bad sign for Caleb, but that's the one risk point. It's like when you surround him with talent like Moore, like Allen, like Kmet, like Swift, those are legit guys who can all, for the most part, break big plays, be viable targets, can move the sticks over and over again. So I'm willing to ignore the pressure thing, but if I were going to point out one major flaw, like that's what killed Jordan Love in the front half of last year, was that he could not handle pressure well, or once teams figured out that he couldn't handle pressure, they really sent it. He figured it out in the back half. For Caleb, he could struggle from day one, and that would be not great. Jackass takes Justin Fields at 138, which I guess speaks for itself. Jackass's draft, I would say one of the worst drafts we've had on stream. Taking Derrick Henry at 18, taking Justin Fields right now, 138. And we also were able to push Jonathan Brooks all the way around. So I'm happy to do that here. Jonathan Brooks coming down as our RB3. And honestly, I don't hate these guys either. Taking Gus over Brooks, maybe a question. Ford over Brooks, though, I think is completely fair. I would have been happy to get Jerome Ford at 140. He has the best playmakers in the NFL. I don't think that's true. It's still got to be. He's got two of the best possession receivers in the NFL. I'll give you that. But, like, you know, you have the Bengals. You have enough teams out there that you can make this case for. The Dolphins you make the case for, even though the usage for Waddle's not there. I think there are other guys you would say have a stronger two, but this is the thing though, is like, if you guys are NBA fans, whenever a team is chasing their own like big three, this is what teams are doing at wide receiver now. They're chasing like a wide receiver, big two. Like that's, I think, the meta of the NFL, which aligns with everything else, aligns with the contracts, aligns with the draft capital, all those things. So, you know, the Niners, yeah, of course, the Niners, duh, sorry. But the point being is I could have kept naming teams. I just didn't want to have to do it off the top of my head. But yes, the Niners are very concentrated offense, the two top receivers. Like, that's what, you know, the sharpest coaches, the sharpest teams are doing. So, you know, like, that's what I expect the Bears to do. I think the Bears, you know, Ryan Poles is not impressive as a GM. How he is setting up this rebuild, or this, you know, in-process rebuild, hopefully immediate contention, I think it's been pretty impressive. The botching of Fields is not so, so like you kind of have to dig him for that. But the Bears are setting them up really well. I know this was a video about historic running back seasons, and, you know, and I did say Swift, I think, can have one. But like the Bears, I'm just like really excited about the Bears to see what happens. They're going to be a fun team. I'm not sold on Caleb. It's just the pressure, man. Just the pressure. But I get it. I get not being sold, but I'll give him the cosign. I still think Jaden Daniels is a better fantasy QB day one because of the rushing, but, you know, doesn't matter. All right, at this range, we don't have any correlation we need to get. Marshawn Lloyd, I think, has a higher upside than Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright, a lot of speed. Ty Chandler, though, the most real role right now, and we just need to solidify this running back room a little bit more. So I'm going to go Ty Chandler here. I'm okay with Jalen Wright. I think he's got a good shot to get an okay outcome. And with his speed, you know, there's the faint chance that he is an Achan type where he lands in an offense that just wants a speed merchant who's going to put him in there, give him some shots to break big plays. Jalen Wright's got outs, but he's also got the potential of like being behind a Rashad White or some dumb shit. And I think that would not be great for Jalen Wright. So I'm taking Chandler here, but you can make the case for either guy, I think. I don't think Rattler could be the best QB. I think that's silly. But, you know, look, the top three are so good. And frankly, JJ McCarthy is also pretty good. Rattler, what did he have going for him? He was on target more than Drake May by a good margin. 74% on target rate. We'll put him right in line with Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. Not a great EPA, though. Negative EPA per pass is not a good thing you want to see. Negative 0.03 EPA there. Downfield, only a 10% downfield ball rate is really low. You don't want to see that. That's Bo Nix range. He was also worse than Bo Nix, the 0.53 EPA. Doesn't run a lot, 4.6 times a game. I mean, so like he's running an okay amount, but he's not running a lot. The Rattler thing has baffled me. I think it's one of the things that people who like see him in practice, they go, he's got a live arm, I guess, is like the main report. But Rattler, a guy too, who moves around that much in college and is not moving, like he's moving upwards, he's moving downwards. Yeah, I don't see it, man. You got like to push a Rattler here, and even for me to like push a Bo Nix, when you have Caleb, when you have Daniels, when you have Drake May, it's forcing you to be contrarian in a way you don't have to be. Those three QBs are three really good prospects. And last year, we had a couple of really good prospects as well, and one with Bryce Young where the numbers didn't quite pass my sniff test. I thought he was going to be a guy where he lands in a good offense, he'll be okay because he was in a good offense at Bama. He didn't land in a good offense, and he ended up showing the worst for it. But like the top three, and frankly, McCarthy too, like Thor Nystrom is a guy who I've talked about on here who does a good job talking about college guys. He has his biases like any film watching guy does, and I guess like I do too with my analytics stuff. He really capes for J.J. McCarthy. And I think he's also a Vikings fan too, so maybe that goes hand in hand. McCarthy, though, he put a highlight reel out yesterday, which was like McCarthy has some absolute dimes. He didn't drop back a lot. I've talked about that here. But he has a very live arm and a very accurate arm while on the move too. For McCarthy, I just think he's undervalued too. But people want to push Rattler, and it's like you have four really good prospects here. Just be happy to get four really good prospects. And Nix is a better prospect too. Like Nix can run an offense and run it really well. I don't think he's not a guy that's going to create an offense on, you know, a backyard field kind of thing. He's not going to be Caleb. He's not going to be Jaden Daniels. Not going to be Drake May on that front. Even McCarthy, who's like a sneaky athlete. But I think that, you know, I just wouldn't squint my eyes too much to this class. Like this class is really good. Rico Dowdle going back to the Cowboys. As a result, Jackass takes him at 162. Jackass is definitely building a team here. He is building a team. Some guys I like, just the ADP, the lack of ADP awareness, and Derrick Henry at 18. You're never going to dig out of Derrick Henry at 18 for me. And he didn't get Jared Goff with his Lions stack for no reason too, which is not the best. All right, we have a 2-4-6-1 here. Players we like, Leggett and Pearsall. If you are low at wide receiver, good guys to take. I'm happy to take Marshawn Lloyd here. Roschon Johnson goes to pick before me. Would have been an okay pick as well. Marshawn Lloyd, come on down. Five running backs here. A 2-5-6-1 build so far. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels right now. Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson, Jonathan Brooks, Ty Chandler, Marshawn Lloyd at running back. Wide receiver, Jamar Chase, DJ Moore, Rashee Rice, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Thomas. Really one of my best wide receiver rooms I've built in terms of vets plus some rookie upside. And Brock Bowers, who's all rookie upside at tight end. Our guy Neil here. Go click Neil's profile if you can. If you're in the chat right now, subscribe to his channel. Neil on the move up with his weekly interviews. People of note. Got Brick coming up soon on his channel too. But yes, I was talking about Rattler here. People like Rattler. I am not a Rattler fan. There you go. Rattler bias because him being on shows in high school. There you go. Just, you know, trying to breed that bias out. And again, just like I really think that for most people this year, like I said it last year, guys, I think I gave you the QB medal last year. AR got hurt, but like fall in love with Richardson, fall in love with Stroud was really the things that I extrapolated a lot about here on the show. This year, I'm telling you guys, just like will yourself to fall in love with the top four, to fall in love with Caleb Williams, with Drake May, with Jaden Daniels, with J.J. McCarthy. I would say not in that order. I'd put Daniels too, but fall in love with these guys because they're good. Don't try to force Rattler. Even Nix, like, you know, just, man, it's a good class. It's a good class. The film goblins. I do like 888 here calling them film goblins. Yeah, McCarthy's got great tape, and he's got great analytics, too. He just didn't drop back enough. Sample size is not good enough. All right, 2-5-6-1 here. We can continue to make a bet on Chicago. It's a narrow bet, though. Still feel like Herbert is a cut candidate, but he's a good rusher. Mayer, though, would make this team pretty solid, too. Thing is, like, can we get anything else at running back if we punt it further? I'm going to take Mayer here for the discount and see if maybe I can get Herbert back. I've also noticed, which maybe you guys do because you guys watch me enough here, thankfully, I have a tick that I do now. When I'm really thinking about something, I grab my ear, which... I've noticed it with probably videos, and I'm now doing it on Splash Play. But I was like really thinking it through, and I just like had to grab my ear to think about Michael Mayer. But the ear grab told me to take Michael Mayer as my tight end too, and I feel good about that. Guys, if you're watching live or after the fact, again, please subscribe down below. Splash button that march now to 4K subs to 5K subs. We can't do it without you. And frankly, we want people like you watching the stream to be a part of it. And if you hit that like button, it shows us more people. Helps me out a lot here. This is right now. This and my sports betting app probably are my full-time jobs. So the more you guys just show a little love here, it goes a long way. And of course, I'm, as you can tell, hopefully I do the work here every day. I think about the stuff, the game theory of it, the actual football parts of it. We back it up with research here. And that's what we do at Splash Play every day. So make sure you subscribe and join us here. 11 a.m. is Monday to Friday. New drafts every day. That is the deal. Next week, I'm going to be in Miami. So I'm going to figure some stuff out. I have to go to Miami for, we'll be going Tuesday to Wednesday to raise investor money for Probably. So very exciting there. And I guess while we're doing the plugs, if you want to sign up for Probably, great time to do that before we go meet with investors. But go check it out. 50% off with the promo code splash at probably.com/subscribe. And also on the App Store, 7-day free trial right now. Great way to get yourself some good bets for March Madness or just keep doing like we're doing in NBA, crushing. Here's the results for March so far. Again, yesterday back in the green, even though 0.3 units, who fucking cares? But 4-1 in the top five yesterday. So things are looking good for Probably Data. And that's what we do for you. Make betting easy. Make it easy to be profitable. That's the goal. We do it every day. Stacks on Shark Tank. No, I don't think Shark. Though my friend, my co-founder and CTO is one of my best friends since high school. And actually Luca's godfather as well. Black and Latino man. So hey, pat on the back for the white guy in the white shirt. But no, one of my best friends since high school. And he was like, he loves Shark Tank. I was like, can we pitch the Shark Tank? And I'm like, no, we can't fucking pitch the Shark Tank. No, we're trying to get angel investors in Miami. So probably no Miami booty unless the rich white guys there are like, hey, go out to the strip club to show you're cool. Then I would go, but we're just mostly going and go stay in the Yotel. I shouldn't give out my locations like this. But I'm going to go stay in the Yotel in downtown Miami, which is right by where we have to do the meeting. I'm more anxious about it than anything. I'm excited that it looks like we'll be able to hopefully close around and be able to do some stuff because that's been, you know, I've been doing this for free for, well, since April 2022, but in particular the last 7 months. But yeah, you know, like feeling like we've built the business enough to have people want to give money, and especially, you know, Miami dudes wanting to give money, I'm happy to do it. So hopefully we'll have a good outcome there for our demo day. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it, buddy. Hard work. We're all, Neil's doing hard work on his channel. I'm doing hard work here. It's not easy building up your own stuff, guys, but that's what, you know, a lot more people are going to do. A lot of us are, you know, following the Pete Overzet roadmap. So hopefully we all have that same, we have that, all that exact same success that Pete's had. 2562 here. I didn't mean to do a little gesture. I don't know why I did that. I meant just like getting a little bit of that success is really what I was going for. 2562 here. We can take the handcuff for Eli Mitchell here. Could go Audrey Gastame, who I still, you know, too slow, but can land an outcome where he is a power back, punch it in some TDs. And I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to do Audrey Gastame here. I'm okay with Jalen Polk. I'm okay with Tez Walker. Both guys proved it well with their RAS performances at the combine. So they're athletes. They're guys who are decent enough analytically. Tez Walker, more of an air yards merchant because Drake May throws deep at the highest rate in college football, or at least out of the guys who are in the draft class. But I think overall, out of all of college football, besides Penix, maybe. So that's it. Polk's okay, but we're not taking him. Dear me, how will I ever get the success that Pete has? I got to rethink it all. I mean, for a content creator, what Pete has is like the goal. For obviously for Tyler, who's like a NASA guy, not to, you know, give it away, but your avatar's NASA, so I think it's fine. Like for you, perhaps not a different level of success, but for any of us, like for me, you know, at Football Outsiders, I'll be real with you guys. I'm always real here. I was making 150K plus the stock or whatever at Football Outsiders. I don't think I'm going to make that here. Like if we raise money for Probably, I'll make 70K a year or something. And like, that'll be enough to pay daycare and whatever. But, you know, just being able to do that, being able to do that for yourself, I think is the goal of most people in the space. So it's all relative. But, you know, for Pete, like Pete's in the sixes, I think. I know. I figured you were. I'm just, yeah, we're just filling time. We're just talking here. Socket. There are a lot of people who want to be creators. So you got to know the business. You got to know, like for a channel like me, I said 1,000, I rounded down. But, like I make like 1,500 from stochastic affiliate stuff. And I make like 500 from YouTube channel stuff. So like, that's not enough money to live off of. It's obviously better than nothing for you guys out there. Like that's the first goal. Then the goal for me is to get to like where Pete is, where you're making, you know, theoretically 5 to 10. I don't know how much he's making, but that's what you should be trying to do. Trying to improve yourself. And especially if you're working for yourself, increment by increment is the goal. All right. So we have this 2662 here, really not a desperate need anywhere. Malachi Corley going the wrong way, not competing at the combine, bad thing for him. Tez Walker is a veteran best ball kind of guy. I'm willing to do it. Don't know that he's really a better pick than Jalin Hyatt, but he's a more professional receiver, not a gimmick receiver like Hyatt was at Tennessee. So there you go. Yeah, Flock Fantasy makes a lot. Flock Fantasy makes a lot. But that's the thing, though, is like if you're trying to reach like the season-long folks and get him over to best ball, like he's got probably the best conversion funnel of anybody out there. I think our guy Ron Stewart, you know, a pretty good one too, where if you're doing the season-long stuff and you're using that to like funnel people towards gambling, that's always going to give you the best results. I don't enjoy season long. Like I grew out of it because like I can gamble and do best ball and it's easier and more fun. So, you know, you got to do the things you enjoy. Yeah, I wish. I'm getting a flat fee from Underdog for the first time this year, which is very nice and very appreciative of that. But yeah, Underdog stock would be a lot better because that stock, Pete's got stock in it. Pete was an early investor. So he's got something there. So hopefully he'll throw some shekels everybody else's way when big Underdog makes Pete rich. So don't become the leader. I prefer to be a leader of a cult. A flock and a squad is the same thing. We got the squirt squad here. Is what it is. Season long is such a drag. Look, I'll never fully hate season long because I enjoyed season long so much. It's what got me to fall in love with this stuff and this process and wanting to be better at the fantasy football parts and the analytics. It's what got me to the fantasy DFS, to do an NFL that, and then also doing NBA where I've had, you know, the most winnings I've ever had. Like, so for me, it's all part of the process that got you there. It's also what started the love, fanned the flame and all of that. And even in high school, I was playing fantasy baseball. I was playing fantasy basketball too. So all those go hand in hand. But, you know, I always love season long. I feel like season long is like that first love for you, that girl in high school that you couldn't get over. And now if you think back on it, it's like, oh yeah, like she's a fucking disaster. And that was a bad situation. And I think for season long, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's just, you know, It's like a child's game. Like best ball is a grown man's game. Best ball, we have cigars here. We have our little snifters of whiskey, and we have a gentleman's game for the most part. And you know, and that's fun to me. But season long, it's like you're tethered to this one team. Where if you fucked up, or you just got scooped on, you know, auction values or whatever in your draft, and it's just dead. It's not fun. I don't know. It's only going to continue growing. Gambling is so much more socially and legally accepted than it was even 2 years ago. It's not as much as you think. I could tell you, as somebody with a betting startup, I've been surprised that, you know, there's so many like great pre-seed, you know, VCs out there, investors that would invest in a company like ours. And it's like, oh, we just don't touch the gambling space. It's a sin space. It's like, it's not a fucking sin. I guess maybe if you're in the Bay Area and California is never going to fucking get betting because the tribes aren't going to allow it. It's more of a sin, but it's really not a sin. It's like, if you're not investing in the space right now, you're letting just, you know, the lambs be led to slaughter in a sports betting industry that's happily going to take from you guys. And you know, Underdog is a great site. I think one of the more responsible ones. They're all happy to take all of your money. Ultimately, that's what it is. So you need things to be checks and balances against that. You need good data. You need, you know, streams like this one, hopefully like Cranes, like Pete's, like the Spike Week guys, like everybody out, like the ETR guys, like Herzig. You need all these guys out there as a check and balance against the fact that like ultimately they would be happy to let you draft 9 QBs and have dog shit teams because it doesn't really matter. So obviously they've changed that this year because Underdog does care more than most. But that's the main thing with gambling you have to know is like you're going to be alone unless you make yourself not alone. And that's the part with betting that I think is scary to me because I see people making bad choices a lot. And you should invest in helping people not make those bad choices. Because like, no matter what, like Americans last year lost $12 billion in sports betting. They're going to lose more this year no matter what. Even if probably we're like the biggest success and like Odds Shopper and Odds Jam are all killing it, people would still lose $20 billion next year no matter what. So, you know, like you got to have something to keep that under control and help people fuck up less, hopefully. Don't think we need another QB here. Could use another tight end. Again, we got, I am a Zach Ertz guy. I just am not going to forget Zach Ertz coming out of nowhere. Nobody drafting him last year, being good again. Zach Ertz to me getting a big upgrade here, being a part of this Washington offense that for right now has not replaced Curtis Samuel, has not replaced Logan Thomas. So Zach Ertz is going to kind of rise upwards, or McLaurin and Dotson are going to be beasts. Both are possible, but I still like Ertz at this point. Full disclosure, Flock was one of the first channels I started watching when I started going down the deep gen hole. Great. So then he's probably your intro to channels like this one. which is the funny thing. Like he's the intro from season long to best ball. Then you get to, you know, you get through the novice best ball, which I would say he does a good job with, you know, for that audience, you know, kind of catering to their interests. And hopefully you go to the sharper channels like this one and some others. And then hopefully that leads to you having the success that you make your own channel and fucking do it. I don't know. But yeah, that's good to hear, I guess. I'm too mean to the flock. I scare off his audience right away, but he does a good job for those people. It's just, I think he parrots back what they want to hear. And that's always going to be my biggest thing. Depositing really easy and fast, withdrawals not so much. It's not that bad now. If you guys, like, if you didn't play on a like an overseas sports book back in the early 2000s, you don't know what hard to withdraw was. So I would say that. But yeah, a lot of the ones too, you know, like the Thrive Fantasy ones, no house advantage, those ones you couldn't withdraw and then your money went bye-bye. So you got to be careful with it. But that's why I say, you know, stick to the top three. I know people have concerns about drafters. Drafters, like, they are very good with their money. I could tell you from having a lot of conversations with those guys. So, you know, draft on Underdog, draft on Drafters, draft on DraftKings. Those are the safe ones for best ball. And, you know, people like FFPC and whatever. I've seen enough from the fringe sites that I don't need to go there. Never been able to finish a full flock video. Well, there you go. That's why you're even more of a regular vaporware here. The vaporware is on, like, everybody. Everybody on YouTube has got a sharp stream. Vaporware is in it. So I think you've got enough content here that's actually hopefully adding a little more value. All right, 2673 here. I'm okay taking a flyer on Dobbins at this point. Like, he would have to overcome historical injury precedent to have a good career from here forward. But there is just the shot that he goes to a Dallas, that he goes, I don't know. Vegas is getting dry with Madison going there. It's got to be a draft pick at this point, I would think. But he can go somewhere and be useful. So I'm willing to take a flyer on Dobbins. Dobbins can go to the Cardinals, maybe. I don't know. There's ways that Dobbins can land a good outcome. And I do think a sharp team will take a shot at him. It's just his price tag probably has to come down, because last year he wanted Saquon money. Then he got hurt. So I think he might have to reset the brain a little bit. Let's see. DK and Underdog withdrawals have always been sub 5 minutes. Don't use PayPal for that stuff, though. With tax rules moving around, you can get double tax. So it's something that I know I've seen a couple people tweet around about out there, but I actually did look that up myself just to make sure. And yeah, just make sure you're not withdrawing from PayPal for anything. It's like PayPal will send you then, what is it? Not a 1099. It's like a K something, but it'll send you a form sometimes. And then you basically get up double taxed. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to get a 1099 from DraftKings and then also get one from PayPal. Get a check or get a wire. Our guy Mike here on Buffalo. Never thought we'd get legal sports betting due to the Seneca tribes. They finally settled. Good. I hope so. I mean, California is more headstrong. I do know that, but we'll see. At a certain point, it's just so much money. And for California, that was one of the most progressive states with weed legalization. You would think that they'd be at the forefront of sports betting too, but they're not. And I guess one of the good things of me not living in California is, like, I'd have to be doing probably while betting on Bovada or whatever. And I prefer not to do that. I instead just bet on DraftKings to take the bad vig, but I get the real user experience. So that's always the goal. Watching Flock extremely stoned is quite entertaining. He does zone in on his mouth. He does do some flapping. That's why the bit is always a bet. It's me going, ah, rah, rah, rah. But that's when you want to, you know, when you want to be a person that moves to TV, I guess, you know, you put on your broadcaster voice and all that. I want to be a guy that just comes in here, does this content as long as I want, hangs out with you guys, makes enough money off of that in my app. That's the goal. So where do we withdraw with UD? Interchecks to take a while. I've never had an issue with withdrawing from Underdog, but I don't know. I guess everybody's mileage may vary, but Underdog has always been pretty fast for transactions for me. I had to pull out all the stuff that I won in best ball last year to pay bills. So I got it. I lost track of time this whole draft. Go back and rewatch. It's a good thing about Splash Play. Look, we're always available here live at 11 a.m. every day, but the replays are good too. And I think this was a good draft today. I think we hit both 16. I probably didn't do enough team reads, so my bad for the audio listeners. Of course, audio versions of Splash Play going off every day as well. But look, I got to tell you guys, man, without Michael Thomas in here, without Poophead, these drafts have been a lot more enjoyable for me. So I think I've already solved my pain points from Friday. But coming back tomorrow for another draft, and we'll see what time it is. Sammy's the king of the rewatch. Sammy's the king of a lot of things, but king of the rewatch as well. Excited to hear. Yes, you're getting a good draft here. And look, we talked positively about at least one Georgia guy, and I took Brock Bowers. So, Adam, there are things specifically for you, my friend, if I can make the sales pitch to you. One pick coming up here. What are we going to do with this last pick? We got a 2773 QB. Nothing too exciting. Could take Bo Nix. What does that really do for a team with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels? Not much, I don't think. A.T. Perry, get an EPA outlier. Going to get a better situation in New Orleans, though. Cedric Wilson being there, I don't get, like, why. I think Perry's better than Wilson, but it's just another body. It's going to fuck things up. So that changes the outlay a little bit. Yoshivis wouldn't be crazy here. have a little bet on Ja'Marr Chase. Come on, Stubby. All right. Stubby takes KJ Osborne, the new Patriot. Probably move we haven't talked about a lot. I would guess that signing is because he's a really good run blocker. If I had to guess, so probably portends a little bit of opportunity there for Gibson and for Ramondre Stevenson. Could honestly go an eighth running back. I feel like wide receiver is pretty good for me. I am going to go an eighth running back, and I'm going to go Justice Hill. Abani Kanda would be okay as a pure handcuff. I don't know that a seventh wide receiver does a lot for me when I have this, you know, high capital bet on Chase, Moore, Rashee Rice, Allen, McLaurin, Brian Thomas, and then Tez Walker late. I just don't. Part of the thing with going extreme zero RBs, you have to be comfortable with less wide receivers. So I'm going to be comfortable with seven here in a 20-round draft. So my final team here, a 2-8-7-3. Caleb Williams and Jayden Daniels at QB, both guys reasonable price tags. Very happy to get them. At running back, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson, Jonathan Brooks, Ty Chandler, Marshawn Lloyd, Audric Estime, J.K. Dobbins, and Justice Hill. So if you don't draft running back early, make it up with volume. We made it up very much so with volume. Wide receiver, I just mentioned it, but Ja'Marr Chase, DJ Moore, Rashee Rice, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas, and Tez Walker. And then here we go. Our guy Adam says that wide receiver room is spicy. I agree. Tight end, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Zach Ertz. I think a beautiful team built here today. So I'm happy with the results of this one. Of course, I'll be back on the grind tomorrow, guys. So again, use that promo code SPLASH, double your deposit up to $100 here. You can have clean drafts like this on stream. It seems like drafts are hell. But in reality, if you just draft 5 minutes before a Splash Play stream starts, you're having a great time building six teams. And that's what you can do on Underdog. So do it for yourself. Promo code SPLASH on there. Of course, make sure to subscribe here, guys. Again, we're doing shows every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. I do the best I can to explain everything I'm seeing. If you want to fade the takes, go ahead. I'll tell you what I see. If you push back on it, I'll look up data. If you're right, I'll tell you about it. Adam, our guy in the chat, can attest. I learn from stuff. I learn from you guys, and hopefully you learn from me here. And that's the process every day, and that's the promise every day. Stochastic, promo code SPLASH on there, saves you 15%. NBA going off every day, did the $4 yesterday. Unfortunately, I was too busy being a dad and missed swapping off of O'Shea Brissett, which fucked me so bad because I had really good teams. O'Shea Brissett putting up 3.5 points for the it was awful, but still, Stochastic's tools allow you to make those swaps faster if you're paying attention like I was not. So go to Stochastic, promo code SPLASH on there, save 15% on any package as well. And of course, probably my baby here. If you want to support Splash Play, the best way to do that is to join button down below, hit the like button, subscribe, all that. If you want to support Splash Play, supporting Probably does that too, because money for Probably helps go to Splash Play. I do both. They're both my things, and they're both things I care about a lot. So check it out for yourself, 50% off. Getting good for March Madness, and get a promo code SPLASH on there, 50% off your first month or your first year. And thank you to all these fine folks who have put the show on. I think our guy, somebody else joined yesterday. I'm forgetting now, but do want to give the shout out to, hold on, let me just check the channel real fast. I'm so fucking OCD about shit like this. And I do want to appreciate properly everybody who gives money. Jason, one of our regulars, Jason, is the one who put in yesterday. I didn't even get there, but yes, shout out to Jason. Here's not on the sheet right now. We'll get him on for the next one, but these are all the people who support the show, $4.99 a month. They get also VIP perks, custom emojis, badges, and the upcoming SPAGs rankings, I think, post-draft here. We'll have it fully locked in, ready to go for BBM is going to be the goal. So that's what we're going to do here. And I know I've put that off a couple times, but every time I do, I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. It's not going to add value. So we're going to do it at the time that adds the most value, but that's coming up. And of course, that's more like an almanac where I have write-ups about every guy, also the EPA metrics for every guy as well. So you can see that all in one place. It's coming up soon. And Chunk the Deuce coming up on stream too as well. So that'll be a fun first member one here. Thank you guys for hanging out. Appreciate you all being here. And I'll see you guys again soon. Enjoy your days. Good luck. And happy birthday, Luca. My son, hit the like button. 2 years old. 2 years old. Love it. He loves YouTube, right? Okay, bye.